through the Sovereign Pontiff, saints, and others. Bishop Giles, in the 13th paragraph of your reply, you wrote, quote, "Ordinary means not delegated, and the ordinary power comes from Jesus Christ," unquote. However, what you did not add was a very important phrase, quote, "through the Sovereign Pontiff," unquote. And that is the important reason why you and Bishop Rosales have never received ordinary or delegated jurisdiction. I have already provided quotes from popes which prove that all jurisdiction flows to bishops only through the successor of St. Peter. As a summary, let us review other evidence that proves this truth. In his Summa Contra Gentiles, Book 4, Chapter 76, St. Thomas Aquinas provides the doctrine of the Catholic Church, quote, "To preserve the unity of the Church, the power of the keys must be passed on through Peter to the other pastors of the Church," unquote, from St. Thomas Aquinas. And the quoting now from his Summa in the Supplement, Question 22, Article 1, Reply to Objection 1, quote, "It is in this sense that some distinguish between the key of orders, which all priests have, and the key of jurisdiction in the tribunal of judgment, which none have but the judges of the external tribunal. Nevertheless, God bestowed both on Peter," Matthew 16, verse 19, "from whom they are derived by others, whichever of them they have," unquote, from that part of the Summa. Father Clarence McAfee teaches in his Sacramental Theology, Imprimatur, April 25, 1958, page 303, quote, "From this declaration, it is evident that delegated jurisdiction to absolve is not conferred by priestly ordination or episcopal consecration. That ordinary jurisdiction is not granted follows from the fact that no man receives a parish or diocese by his ordination," and I insert, "or consecration," unquote. Father Michael Mueller, CSSR, teaches Catholic doctrine in a book titled The Beautiful Story of the Catholic Faith, with an imprimatur of January 16, 1902. Quote, "The choice of a bishop has to be made, or at least to be confirmed, by the Pope. From him each bishop holds his jurisdiction over the territory assigned to him by the Pope. Episcopal jurisdiction has been instituted by Christ in such a manner that each bishop should receive his jurisdiction from the Pope, who makes the bishops sharers in the power of the keys which Christ gave to Peter alone and in his person to his successors," unquote, from The Beautiful Story of the Catholic Faith. From a Manual of Pastoral Theology by Reverend Father Frederick Schultz, Imprimatur, Bishop Ioannis J. Clennon, 1923, page 295, we learn bishops do not obtain jurisdiction through episcopal consecration. We also learn that a priest, by his ordination, has no jurisdiction. Quote, "Jurisdiction rests with the hierarchy, the Pope as the head of the Church, and the bishops in their respective dioceses. This jurisdiction the bishop does not obtain through episcopal consecration. It is conveyed to him by the authority of the Holy See in the apostolic brief appointing him and setting him as a ruler over a portion of Christ's vineyard. No temporal sovereign or state can give this jurisdiction. It is not earthly, but of heavenly creation. It is empathetically a power from God. The channel of its derivation is through the apostolate. A priest by his ordination has no jurisdiction. Unquote from that Manual of Pastoral Theology. Let us review the Catholic faith from the liturgical year, Madame Geringer, Imprimatur, 1924, Volume 4, pages 282 through 287. Quote, today, let us consider the Apostolic See as the sole source of the legitimate power whereby mankind is ruled and governed in all that concerns eternal salvation. Unquote. Do you agree that since the Apostolic See is the sole source of legitimate power, and that unless a bishop received a papal mandate and jurisdiction through a vicar of Jesus Christ, he does not have legitimate power? Tom Geringer continues to teach us by providing these quotes from some saints and other learned men. Quote, she, the Catholic Church, says to us by Tertullian, Christ gave the keys to Peter and through him to the Church. By Saint Optatus of Malvis, for the sake of unity, Peter was made the first among all the apostles, and he alone received the keys that he might give them to the rest. Unquote. By Saint Gregory of Nyssa, it is through Peter that Christ gave to bishops the keys of their heavenly prerogative. By Saint Leo the Great, if our Lord willed that there should be something common to Peter and the rest of the princes of the Church, it was only on this condition, that whatsoever he gave to the rest, he gave it to them through Peter. Unquote from that part of the liturgical year. Tom Geringer here provides the unanimous teaching of Catholic tradition. Quote, yes, the episcopate is most sacred, for it comes from the hands of Jesus Christ through Peter and his successors. Such is the unanimous teaching of Catholic tradition, which is in keeping with the language used by the Roman pontiffs from the earliest ages. Unquote from that part of the liturgical year. Remember that the deposit of Catholic faith is that which is contained in sacred scripture and in the universal tradition. We continue to learn from Dom Geringer that the universal tradition of the Church teaches that the episcopate, with all its authority, emanates from the Apostolic See. Quote, this fundamental principle, which St. Leo the Great has so ably and eloquently developed, as we have seen on the Feast of the Chair at Rome, January 18th, this principle, which is taught by universal tradition, is laid down with all possible precision on the magnificent letters still extant of St. Pope Innocent I, who preceded St. Leo by several years. Quote, the episcopate, with all its authority, emanates from the Apostolic See. Unquote of that part of the liturgical year. Tom Geringer sums up what he has been teaching us. Quote, all spiritual authority comes from Peter. All comes from the Bishop of Rome, in whom Peter will continue to govern the Church to the end of time. Jesus Christ is the founder of the episcopate. It is the Holy Ghost who established bishops to rule the Church. But the mission and the institution, which assigns the pastor his flock and the flock its pastor, these are given by Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost through the ministry of Peter and his successors. Unquote from that part of the liturgical year. I now bring Dom Geringer's statements and quotes to a close with his own pertinent conclusion. Quote, we then, both priests and people, have a right to know whence our pastors have received their power. from whose hand have they received the keys? If their mission comes from the apostolic see, let us honor and obey them, for they are sent to us by Jesus Christ, who has invested them through Peter with his own authority. If they claim our obedience without having been sent by the Bishop of Rome, we must refuse to receive them, for they are not acknowledged by Christ as his ministers. The holy anointing may have conferred on them the sacred character of the episcopate. It matters not. They must be as aliens to us, for they have not been sent. They are not pastors. Unquote from the liturgical year. Always remember what Father Cox correctly teaches in The Pillar and Ground of the Truth, in Premartyr and Copyright 1900, pages 155, 156, and 173. He clearly explains that no sect can be the true church if its clerics do not receive their jurisdiction, which flows to the bishops only through the successor of Saint Peter. Quote, "It is not enough for it to teach all the doctrines of the apostles if it lacks either their orders or their jurisdiction. Those who invent doctrines unheard of before are not the successors of the apostles. Novelty and error are children of the same Father, the Father of lies. Those who have lost the line of valid ministers leading back to apostolic times cannot plead the possession of apostolicity. Where there is no ordination, no priesthood, no authority, no power, apostolicity is out of the question. Even if valid orders exist, where jurisdiction is lacking, there is no real apostolicity. Schism, as well as heresy, destroys apostolic succession." Unquote from The Pillar and Ground of the Truth. Proof has been given that you two bishops have invented doctrines unheard of before. Consequently, how is it possible that you are the successors of the apostles? Do you agree that even if your orders are valid, neither you nor any other traditionalist bishop received jurisdiction, because bishops can only receive jurisdiction and authority from a pope? Do you agree that the truth remains true even if no traditionist believes it? Do you accept the obvious truth that no bishop or priest in the traditionist movement has jurisdiction? Do you agree that even if they did teach all the doctrines of the apostles, and even if every cleric's orders were valid, that still would not provide them with the power of jurisdiction? Do you agree that as a result, the church teaches that you do not carry on real apostolicity? Do you also agree that without the fourth mark of the church, everyone should acknowledge that you and all other traditionalists belong to non-Catholic sects? Jesus is the supreme pontiff equals a mere statement. Bishop Giles, in your seventh paragraph, you wrote, quote, "Your principal argument against Bishop Lewis and therefore myself is our understanding of Pope Pius XII. You yourself, without any mission or jurisdiction, claim to have a truer and clearer interpretation of this pope. Therefore, let me use your translation to point out what is obvious to those who are not blinded as you are." Unquote from Bishop Giles. "Yes, the claim of you two bishops that Pope Pius XII teaches that Jesus Christ is the sovereign pontiff is one of the main things in which we do not agree. It is true that I do not have any mission or ordinary jurisdiction in the Catholic Church, but I also do not pretend to have them and then tell others that I have them. Your entire claim to ordinary jurisdiction depends on one thing, and that is your ability to absolutely prove that Jesus Christ always was, always is, and always will be the supreme pontiff. I certainly think that you bishops believe that God the Father is God, God the Son is God, and God the Holy Ghost is God. Undoubtedly, you believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, always was and always will be. But do you bishops teach that the Supreme Pontiff always was, is, and always will be? Do you agree that it was not the Supreme Pontiff who created Adam and formed Eve out of his rib? It is an article of faith that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and dieth now no more. Do you bishops believe the Supreme Pontiff rose from the dead on Easter Sunday and dieth now no more? Do you bishops believe Pope Pius XII never died? After all, he claimed to be the Supreme Pontiff when he wrote, quote, "When we took up our office of Supreme Pontiff," unquote. I believe he was the Supreme Pontiff, and therefore, may I ask if you bishops believe Jesus, the Son of God, is Pope Pius XII? Let us review again what Bishop Louis Verzelius preached during his sermon on July 4, 2010. Quote, "Jesus, the Son of God, is the Supreme Pontiff," unquote, of Bishop Louis Verzelius. Therefore, if the Son of God is the Supreme Pontiff, then there can never be two supreme pontiffs. Must I also force the truth upon you, bishops, that if the Son of God is the supreme pontiff, then never at any time could any pope be the supreme pontiff? Why do you two bishops absolutely, perseveringly, and pertinaciously persist in teaching the opposite of the popes and the sacred liturgy of God's infallible church? Furthermore, what do mission and jurisdiction have to do with anyone, Catholic or non-Catholic, understanding the hundreds of times the popes throughout the centuries have shown that the supreme pontiff is the pope? I have provided plenty of evidence from many sources that jurisdiction passes to bishops only through the Pope, including several quotes directly from Pope Pius XII. I have provided even more sources to prove that the titles of Sovereign Pontiff and Supreme Pontiff always refer to the Pope. If you need more of the same kind of examples, you can find over 100 others in the writings of the popes, in the councils of the church, and in their commentaries on canon law. The evidence supporting the truth that bishops can only receive ordinary jurisdiction from the lawful successor of St. Peter is overwhelming. Therefore, if I am the blinded one, as you say, in understanding this subject of jurisdiction coming from a pope and not directly from Jesus Christ, I am in excellent company. Every pope, saint, and spiritual author that has written about this matter is in agreement with me and opposed to you and Bishop Verzelius.